Hey, 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 good people. It's Rashawn. I am back with another episode. And yes, it's a cool bruh episode. I always love it when the brothers come on the show. Hopefully you have had an amazing start to your week. I celebrated my birthday this past weekend, and boy, was it phenomenal. Yes, it was. I was in Washington, D.C. My husband's side of the family, they had their family reunion there, so I was able to go hang out in D.C., and some of my sorority sisters came out to see me. What's up to Toya and Bettina and Mashonda and Yolanda? So I just had a great time. Great, great, great time. And cousins, my cousins from my side of the family came and visited. It was just great. Just cherish those types of moments. Just love it, love it, love it. Anyway, today is all about Lakeith Taylor. He is a cool brother. Cool bruh of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, and he joins us in this episode called Always Be Creating. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. I always love having the brothers on the Cool Soror Podcast, and today is no different. I am joined by Lakeith Taylor, who is a cool brother of, go ahead,
Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're so cool. You know, I got to make sure, you know, you're speaking into the microphone. But do you ever raise your voice, Lakeith?
I do.
Yeah.
I try not to.
Right.
But I definitely do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you, I don't know if I've ever seen you come out of your element to have to, you know, be not of yourself.
It definitely happens.
Yeah.
I've kind of become known for this like super just mellow, just very chill kind of vibe.
Right, right.
But like, you press the right buttons,
then,
Southside Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it right back.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about all about your Chicago upbringing and all of that. But right now, currently, you're the chief marketing and brand officer here at The Gathering Spot. And I want to thank you guys for allowing me to record a lot of my episodes here, so thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And this has been on the to-do list for quite some time. Lakeith, you know, he's just so busy, you know, curating different seminars here, making it happen here. So for those who don't know, what all do you do here? What does your job entail?
Yeah, so as a chief marketing brand officer, kind of wear a few different hats, right? So work very closely with Ryan Wilson, the CEO, and TK Peterson, mostly on just the overall marketing and branding of the business.
Yeah.
So both two potential members, right? Like, what is the space? What are we doing? What are all the cool and amazing things you get as being a member? But it's also working on just kind of like the long-term growth strategy, right?
Yeah.
So looking at other markets, other clubs, you know, what are some strategic partnerships that we can bring to the table? You know, how the businesses function. So my job kind of entails all of that, working
right.
on growing the business and
yeah.
really communicating like the value proposition of what The Gathering Spot is
right,
on
right.
a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's been truly amazing, not only for me, but for so many people who didn't even really know what we were missing, but when we got it, we were like, oh my God,
yeah,
this
yeah.
has been just, it's been a godsend for so many
yeah.
folks like me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's absolutely. The purpose, and that's the purpose. So you have to continue to grow that and make us continue to feel like
thank
that.
You, thank you. Yeah, that's part of my job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a very disruptive and kind of interesting concept.
Okay.
One that we haven't really seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is no competitor. So a lot of the components of the business we had to really just figure out.
Yeah.
Right? And that's part of what the job is. It's like figuring out a lot of different nuances, because there's the membership side, there's our events, there's food and beverage. So we're kind of running 3-4 different business models
under one roof. Yeah.
Right? And it takes a lot of nuance and understanding and connecting the dots. And that's kind of where my skill set lends itself to really helping.
You have an amazing skill set, which we'll get into. We got a lot to get into. But I want to take it all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, you were born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. And
Southside.
Yeah, Southside. You know, Chicago folks, as with anybody in their hometown, there's so much pride there.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
brings you the most pride about being from Chicago?
To be honest, man, it's a lot of the historical elements of the city. I mean, for a long time, I mean, we all know about Harlem and New York City and what they did for just black excellence. But a lot of people just don't know, like, Southside Chicago is so rich with just African-American black history. And just to be from those areas and kind of, you know, understanding what took place there and, like, having grown up in it, I feel like it kind of rubbed off on me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did.
So, you know, I tend to be a little bit prideful about it. I'm not one of those kids who, like, oh, I grew up in Wheaton but still claim Chicago. Like, no, I grew up Southside Chicago. Like, and anyone who's from Chicago or been there knows exactly what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's an amazing place.
It is.
Still some work to be done. Obviously, very tragic what's kind of been going on there the last 7-8 years. But, you know, we got amazing people like Chance the Rapper,
Man.
Common, and, you know, even Kanye to some degree. He does a lot of work kind of under the radar. But, and even folks like myself, things that I'm trying to build for the city also.
So. What do you want to do for the city? Like, what do you see Lakeith Taylor making his imprint on his hometown, Chicago?
Yeah, so I try to find the areas of, like, authenticity, things that I'm like really passionate about. And one of those happens to be travel. So what I'm planning for is to create a program called Internationally Local, which really just exposes, you know, youth and teens to just the creativity and the power of just international travel.
Yes.
And I want to use that to purchase passport for teens, eventually take them on trips.
Love it.
Really kind of use, you know, my gifts and you know, my experience with travel to really just kind of help transform, like, you know, who they are, what they're exposed to. Like, it's bigger than like a block or a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's really about it's about seeing the world.
Yeah. And because when you only know what you see, you have no idea what you can be. And I'm not trying to be, you know, some poet or, but that's exactly what, you know, our youth have been going through. They don't see what they can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. How far along in the process are you? Or is it like an idea stage? Or because I know it's going to take a lot to do that. But, you know, first step is to take first step, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a little bit further along. It's about, I would say, 30-40% completed.
Oh, great. Great.
The kickoff for me is going to, so let me kind of bring it full circle. So Internationally Local, how it's going to kick off, I would like to use local Chicago artists,
love it,
photographers, visual artists, really to come in and kind of commission their like works, right? So we're going to do a fundraising component, sell off those works. Those works are going to be used, all proceeds, to purchase passports for kids. So just kind of tying up the whole kickoff component of it and, you know, kind of curating the artists who are going to commission those works.
Love it.
That's kind of what's taking the most time right now. And obviously finding the proper date around it.
Hebrew Brantley, he's from Chicago, right?
He is.
Yeah. What's up with that?
You know, he was just here recently. He was here in Atlanta at the gathering spot. So we had a nice little conversation.
Okay, okay.
Hoping to work something out. You know, I'm going to put it into the universe.
Absolutely, you will. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. He's doing fantastic work as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing
yeah.
person, amazing artist. So,
you know, when people, as you alluded to, when people think of where Chicago is right now, you know, the last 7-8 years, lots of our people, our young folks have been involved in just violence, just unprecedented violence. What was it like for you growing up? I know you come from a single parent home. I know your mother had dreams and desires for you. How were you able to elude a lot of what could have attacked you?
By the grace of God, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a very, very bad
area.
It was very bad. So the roads in the area of Southside Chicago is traditionally known as like the Wild Hundreds. Tremendous amount of gang activity, a lot of violence kind of happening. So the fact that I grew up in it, was around it every day, and just kind of made it out. And again, just had bigger dreams about the world and what was happening outside of just, you know, 11321 Indiana and the South Side. My mom kept me somewhat sheltered in the sense that, like, you know, she didn't allow me to just kind of roam the streets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to just to kind of navigate it. And again, like, you know, I definitely got caught in it. I had a gun put on me at age 8.
Oh, my God.
By a fellow classmate. Got jumped on, you know, avoided fights. Like, every day for, you know, a few years, it was really like a struggle just to get home from school because I had to cross multiple kind of gang lines, right? And I was walking. It was no bus, right?
Yeah.
So from my house to my school was about a mile and a half walk. And it was riddled with fear every single day. And again, so, you know, I'm here, like most people from where I come from don't even make it out.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, I went on and moved to New York and college and
yeah,
in Atlanta's purely the grace of God.
Yeah. Did you have friends that you had to attend funerals for? Or?
Yeah. Went to a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, more than I would have liked.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
being so young, growing up.
Yeah. So actually a real good friend of mine, was killed in the drive-by in fourth grade.
What?
Yeah, girl. Yeah.
No child is supposed to. I mean, it's just the toughness that so many folks have endured.
Yeah, I you know, I'm not gonna say like it was tougher than me than anyone else, but it's just, you know, it's amazing what children are capable of. You know what I mean? And just, you know, once they have a little bit of hope and you know, can think about like the future, it's like that can really propel you outside of your situation.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it did for me. So my mom sacrificed a lot. She worked 2 jobs, you know, just to make sure that, you know, I didn't have a want and need for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And just showered me with love.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
love always wins.
Yeah.
If you allow it, love always wins.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. So just to know that I was coming home every day to a happy home full of love and a good meal, honestly, like helped me make it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I owe all of that to God and my mom.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I'm looking forward to what you're going to do in the future.
Thank
with
you.
The young folks in Chicago. What a nice idea. And I know you travel with your son. We're going to get into that. And I'm sure that probably came from the joy you saw in his face when you travel with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he quite understands it. Like,
because I asked him one time. He was like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
You know, most kids ask him for like Hot Wheels and cars. Like, Christian, what do you want for your birthday? You know, Dad, I was thinking, you know, I want to see the Eiffel Tower. You know, and it's like, bruh. You're 8.
Right.
Like,
but his mind, because of the exposure in his mind, I mean, you got to be like, okay, how can we make that happen?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing.
You know, and travel is one of those investments that's never like money wasted.
Yeah.
So for me, if that's something that he wants, it's something that I love to do. I know it's ultimately going to help him as a person and whatever career profession he goes into. I'm more than happy to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. So when did you gravitate toward basketball? And then that eventually led you to Southern Illinois. Right. So when did you, because you're tall, you're very tall. How tall are you, Lakeith?
6'5".
6'5".
Yeah.
Man. So somebody was like, hey, give that boy a basketball. Did it happen like that or did you gravitate toward the sport?
Yeah, I just gravitated towards the sport. So my first sport actually was baseball.
Okay.
So love baseball, love the Chicago White Sox. And then, I don't know, it's like 1989.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in Chicago. Watching TV one night, and I saw this like player flying through the air named Michael Jordan.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa. Wait a minute. Who is this guy? Right?
Yeah.
And then made some friends around that time who were in basketball as well. And like from that very moment, like I was hooked. Like
yeah.
It was morning, noon, and night dribbling basketballs, going up to the park. That's another thing to say.
Kept you out of trouble.
Yeah, game of basketball, like. When I tell you I was in it, that's like all I cared about. I'm saying watching tapes, like, you know, the VCR. Like VHS tapes that I'm recording things. Going out practicing the moves that I see Michael Jordan making. My grandfather built me a little hoop in the backyard.
Yeah.
So it was my life, man. And it consumed me for a long time.
Yeah.
And just to have that kind of passion in something at that age is... It's important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It
Super
is.
Important.
Yeah. And so you start getting recruited? Did you get recruited? Like, when did you become, like, good?
really good. So I was okay in high school.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we had a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. I didn't play a ton, but like it helped transform my game, right? Because I was around so many good players.
Right, right.
And part of a good program. So I wasn't heavily recruited because I just didn't have the exposure. But eventually went on to Southern Illinois University. And, you know, just knew I was going to, like, be on a team. Like,
right.
I'm the man. Nah, college game, whole different ball game.
Yeah.
So, again, by the, you know, grace of God and stroke of luck, I went into a major that had a couple guys from the team in there. So I was a business major. And those guys were as well. So two of the star players on the team just kind of knew me from around. They used to see me, like, playing basketball at the rec center. And a couple slots opened up.
Really?
And it was like, yo, we want Lakeith, because they just, I mean, yeah, it was something that, like, I dreamed of doing, but I didn't think would happen, right? And just by the virtue of kind of being around these guys, them seeing my character every day, I don't know. They offered me a slot.
Wow.
And I jumped on it. So.
And that was your, was that your freshman or sophomore year?
Nah, this was actually my junior
year. Your junior year.
Yeah. So I spent 2 years like practicing every day, 6 a.m. workouts, trying to walk onto the team, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, it wasn't my time, and it was the last time.
So what were those last 2 years like, you being on the team?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We had a
Sweet 16 run.
Wow.
Our actual school went to the tournament 8 straight years, you know, like, which is amazing, right? Some people are lucky just to make it one time. So we had a couple Sweet 16 runs.
I probably saw you, didn't even know you were out there.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, and you probably don't know this, and not a lot of people do, I was actually part of a reality show called MTV True Life.
Really?
So my senior year, they came in, MTV filmed us for 6-7 months as part of this, like, documentary, this docuseries called I'm a College Baller. And again, right, because I was right next to the star players in classes with them, I actually got a little bit of airtime.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was on there as well, you know, a couple sound bites. So it was really interesting, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable experience.
Yeah. So you get your degree from Southern Illinois in marketing.
I did.
Yeah, because you started out in business, right? Or is that all under the same umbrella?
Yeah, so
school?
I actually started out as an architect major.
Okay.
Right? Because I used to draw when I was a kid. Went to school as an architect major. Quickly realized that wasn't
your thing.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing. And I felt like the ceiling for, you know, a black architect, I don't know, for some reason, just I didn't see a whole lot of us in that industry. So was undecided for a year, found this little concept called marketing, applied to it, and found my calling.
Yeah.
Ended up graduating with my Bachelor of Science in Marketing.
Good stuff. What was your first move after you graduated?
I didn't really have a first move.
Hey, so. I understand. Get it.
Yeah. even though I did really well in the actual major, I didn't really know what.
Because it could,
area to go.
Yeah, it could be advertising, it could be sales, it could be so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of different areas. So I took some time to kind of figure it out. Ended up going into graduate school right after. Had a graduate assistantship, so I was working with the university as a marketing coordinator with the actual school, and just used that time to kind of figure out what direction I wanted to go in.
Yeah,
which led me to a very, very big decision.
To move to New York. Yes.
So a good friend of mine by the name of Darius Broadwater recently moved to New York. And I went to visit him one spring break.
Oh, man.
Right?
Y'all turned up.
right. And as soon as I landed, I was like, what is this?
Yes.
Right? You know, you see New York on TV and you just dream of it. Once you get there and you just feel that energy, it was a whole different world for me. I was like, you know what? I don't care what I got to do. I have to get to New York, like, now.
Yeah.
Right? So went back to school, finished out the semester, told everybody I was leaving, moving to New York. They're like, what? Crazy. You ain't going to New York. I bought a one-way plane ticket, packed 2 bags of clothes, had like $400 to my name, and I went to New York. No apartment, no job, Nothing.
How did you make it the first night? Like, what did you do?
So my boy Dears, yeah. So I was telling him about, he was staying with a cousin. So I ended up like sleeping on that couch for a couple weeks. I had another college friend, girl by the name of Brittany, who was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
She let me kind of stay on her floor for about 3-4 weeks. And I saved up enough money to get my own place.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's how you started. Now, what about, let's talk about, because you spent a lot of time in New York. That's like, that's given you an amazing foundation for what you do now, not only here at the Gathering Spot, but with your own businesses. Mm-hmm. So did you get a corporate job? Did you, like, tell me how New York worked for you and how it's been so instrumental in your career now?
Yeah, I mean, New York is really the foundation, right? And, you know, there's a saying that we all know that, like, if you can make it in New York, you make it anywhere.
Right.
And that is so true, right? Because New York is one of those places that, like, just beats the hell out of you, like, every single day. It is really tough, super competitive. You know, the best of the best come to New York. So, for me, getting into the world that I want to be in, which is marketing, sports, and lifestyle.
Yeah.
It carved out a foundation because my very first job there was with a company called Dime Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a basketball.
Remember that? I remember that.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it was a basketball magazine.
Yeah.
Probably about 2 months after I started there, we created a sister agency called 94 by 50. And that was really just to kind of create these integrated marketing campaigns for different brands at the time. So you have a nice, cool event, product launch, you get some, you know, in-book advertising. So I was really tasked with, like, coming up with these programs. And for me, it was like 60, 70 hour work weeks. It was like underpaid, but like tremendous exposure. So it wasn't like, hey, here's your nice little $70,000 a year job and you're only going to do this one thing. Like, I got thrown into the fire like day one.
Yeah.
And wore all of these different hats, which, to bring it full circle, really helps me out with what I do today. Just being able to have that level of versatility and understanding of different kind of business units and, you know, kind of brand integrations is what I do today. So New York cemented the foundation. It taught me the power of, like, creating a standard for your work.
Yes.
And it's something that I live by to this day. Like, anyone who works with me or who knows me knows that, like, there's a certain quality that I will not deter from.
Right.
And that's kind of what I became known for. And, you know, just developing really, really good relationships.
Yes.
Like, my mom taught me very early to, you know, no matter where you are in life, always treat people well.
Always.
She's like, because people are always going up or going down. And you're going to see them again at some point. You may be down, they may be up, or vice versa. She's like, always treat people well because they never stay in the same place.
Yes.
And it was something that just, it was one of those, like, lessons that you hear as a kid.
You're
that
like,
like, what are you talking about, right?
But you get it. I totally understand.
So well. And just having really good relationships and being a good person to folks and treating people well is by far the reason why I am, like, where I am today.
Absolutely.
Like, without a doubt.
I would agree with that for myself as well. Like, just, if you just be good to people, it will come back full circle.
Absolutely.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always does. Wow. That's great. So you spend lots of time. I mean, literally you have worked with brands such as Nike, Converse, Beats by Dre, Home Depot, CBS. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But what was this turning point when you said, okay, New York, it's enough? And that was after, like, what, 12 years there? How long were you there?
It was nine. A little over nine.
9 years. Okay.
Yeah. New York is very expensive.
Yes, it is.
It's a very, very expensive place. And at this point, you know, I got a family now. You know, I'm married. I got my wife, my son. There's a lot of overhead. And New York, albeit, is great for a person who's just very aspirational. You want to, like, pursue this dream. It's not so good for families.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I had a moment where I was just like, it doesn't matter how much I make. I'm always going to need more and it's like, what's that light at the end of the tunnel? So, you know, I started to prioritize quality of life over just my own kind of personal pursuits.
Right.
and started to look around the country and really see what would be a viable market to live in, and had some relationships in Atlanta. You know, a good friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Chris Hicks, you know, we had a long conversation, and he really kind of encouraged me to consider Atlanta as the place to be. And once I came down and really like was in it, I was like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah.
It was another one of those kind of New York moments. Like I felt the same thing, like that energy in the city, same way I did when I went to New York. So, you know, 3.5, almost 4 years later, one of the best decisions of my life to come here.
Yeah. And it seems like it's crazy. When I first met you, I felt like I had like you've been here like a long time. You know what I mean? I've been around. Obviously, I'm from here and have done a lot of work in the media space. But I felt like you had already been here just because you just kind of you had that aura about you. Like you knew what you had to do to get it done.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you let's talk about your businesses that you have. You have Always Be Creating, right? And also Tailored, but Always Be Creating falls under the umbrella of Tailored. So tell me about Tailored and what you're able to do as an entrepreneur and someone who has, you know, the title that you have here at the Gathering Spot.
Yeah, absolutely. So just take it back a little bit. It's around 2012. Working in corporate America, doing amazing things. And there was this one particular moment where idea that I pitched to a client, like, actually got sold in. And it was about $1.5 million.
Oh, my God. And you got nothing.
Yeah, right? And I'm like, wait a minute. this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to get a promotion from it. There was no bonus. It was just really me doing my job. But it's something that I completely conceptualized, was sold in, and bought for 1.5. And I was like, wait a minute, if I can create a $1 million idea for someone else, like, I have the talent, I have the skills, I have the network, like, I can create it for myself. And that kind of cemented the idea of like, all right, Keith, you always had a desire to be an entrepreneur, you know, go out and test the waters. Probably wasn't the best decision at the moment because I left a six-figure job to go chase entrepreneurship, and the timing was just really bad. But it was one of the best decisions of my life because what it allowed me to do was to be able to work on different things, right, that I was interested in.
Right.
And the kind of central theme there was intellectual property. And for me, it was all about creating platforms, about creating solutions and different forms of IP that I could now make money on.
Right.
So that $1 million idea, now if I pitch it, bruh, I need some equity in it.
Absolutely.
I need some residuals, right?
Absolutely.
So just things like licensing and equity and, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Residuals, those are like the words that were resonated with me. So I created a LLC and a company to kind of, you know, formulate all of that.
Yeah.
Right. So Tailored was, you know, my first foray into entrepreneurship. Started out as a consultancy. So leaving corporate America, the same brands and companies and people that I was working with before were like, all right, well, we're going to hire you now.
Wow.
As a single entity.
How'd that make you feel?
It felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like I was,
like, you knew, I knew I was right. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. It wasn't always good.
Of course.
Entrepreneurship is rocky, right? It's a lot of ups and downs. But just to be able to kind of make that leap and still have like the same level of like relationships and projects and, you know, brand integration was, it was cool. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was super happy for it. So Tailored started out as this consultant thing and quickly emerged into, you know, a parent and umbrella company for all the intellectual property that I wanted to create.
Right.
So things like Always Be Creating and, you know, CreateTL and internationally local, like all the things that I'm mentioning now sits
under that
umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, you know, I look at it as like a creative imprint just to put ideas into the world for myself and for others.
Yeah.
And it's served me really well.
Yes.
You know, so I have no complaints about it. Again, you know, I would have rethought the timing of when I did things and the decisions I made. But overall, it's been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And again, like just going back to childhood, going back to, you know, foundations of New York. Entrepreneurship is one of those things where like people think about it. It's like, oh, man, I got a good idea. Nah, it is rigorous. It is hard.
Yep.
There's nights where I was crying. There was times where I was negative $500 in my bank account.
Get
like,
it.
You know, but I feel in my heart and soul like I was built for it.
Yeah.
Like everything, who I am, what I do, like the core of me was like all entrepreneurship. Like I always thought about ideas and driving value and being creative and always enhancing everything around me. And I have the versatility and like just a dynamic skill set to be able to serve that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that a lot of people don't take into consideration. Just because you got the idea for like a cool business or, you know, something like that, like that doesn't get it done.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about sales. You got to wear the marketing hat. You got to wear the business development hat. You got to wear the, you know, the IT hat when your website goes down. You know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
you don't have the money to fund all those things. So you have to really have a dynamic skill set. And New York helped create that.
Yeah.
And now it's serving me well with everything I do today.
Good, good. That's yeah. awesome. That's awesome. I do want to go back to, you know, You talked about your mom and being a single parent home, and now you are a father.
I am.
With a son and a daughter on the way.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, because you said your father was not there at all.
Nah, not one day. crazy.
Jesus, crazy.
Yeah.
How did his absence help you
mm-hmm.
be the father that you are?
It showed me what not to do,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and again, my mom showed me so much love and just affection. Now, let me put this on record. I wasn't a mama's boy, right? I'm not going to say that.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I wasn't a mama's boy.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I feel what you're saying. So yeah, you make sure you differentiate. Yeah.
Yeah. She put a lot of confidence into me and into myself. And what's crazy is, like, even though he wasn't around, like, it didn't matter. Hmm. Like, it didn't really affect me. There were disappointing moments, like times where, like, we'd be in contact and, you know, he'll promise to come by and see me and he never showed up. And it's like in those moments of just hurt and pain, it like helped me, right? And it got to a point where it's just like, you know what? Like, I'm better off without him. Hmm. And when I do become a father, like, I'm going to be everything he wasn't. Like, I'm just going to, like, I'm gonna be there, like right. me and my son or me and my daughter, like I'm gonna be in their life every single day and just like instill so much joy and happiness and love into them. And it was a personal mission of mine, like
yeah.
just to be the complete opposite of what he was. So,
mm-hmm.
And I sometimes wonder as an adult, like if he was there, how my path would be different.
Right.
And I'm actually okay with it.
Okay. Okay.
I'm okay with him not being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but you don't know what you never experienced. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Which is interesting because it's like, you know, as phenomenal as my mom was and, you know, everything she worked for and sacrificed for was great. She couldn't teach me how to be a man.
Who taught you that?
Good question. I think I learned from just exploring the world and just being around other men,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was in the church or whether it was just kind of distant uncles or friends. Like, I don't know. Like, I was a bit of a sponge and still mm-hmm. am to this
yeah.
day, right? I just pick up a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I had to go through some things personally, like, you know, as a man to really figure out what that means today.
Yeah.
So it's like no one really taught me. I had to learn and figure it out on my own.
Mm. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But from what I know, you're pretty damn phenomenal.
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you.
From what I know, you are pretty damn phenomenal. That is fantastic. That's fantastic. Okay, let's talk about fall 2001 when you became a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated at Southern Illinois University.
Glorious
Gamma
day.
Upsilon.
Yes.
Yes.
The mighty Gamma Upsilon chapter.
Yes. Now, did Kappa Alpha Psi choose you or did you choose Kappa Alpha Psi?
You know. We chose each other.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me hear more about this relationship. much as I can know.
coming into the fraternity or coming into college, right? I had a couple friends who I went to high school with who were a year older than me.
Okay.
So when I got down there, they were already there, but they had cousins who were in a fraternity. So immediately, like, I started hanging around the noobs.
Right.
It was just playing basketball. We, like, you know, doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this one time, right? I went to a party freshman year. It was like the first kind of on-campus party. And, you know, it was cool. It's a good vibe. Like, I'm you know, enjoying myself. And I saw the noobs come through. And, like,
the party.
Yeah, they right. come through
you,
the
did
party.
You even know you were at a Kappa party? Or was it? Oh, it was just a campus
yeah,
party.
It was
okay,
just
okay.
A campus party. All right, yeah, okay. It was just a campus party. Yo, the noobs came through in like shirt and ties and suits.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, what is happening? And I just saw like how crazy everyone went. It is like they just made a grand appearance and they just like, it was like the whole energy changed when they came into the room. And I was like, yo, this is bananas, man. Like right. who are these dudes? And you know, it changed my life and it left a true imprint. So from that day, I was around them and I was just like, just waiting my turn, right?
Right.
Just like eagerly just trying to figure out like, all right, like I'm gonna be a Kappa one of these days. Like,
right,
I'm
right.
I'm gonna figure it out. And it eventually happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So thankful.
Yeah, look thank at that. You. I'm telling you, those things are, you know, you become impressed by those. You never know who's watching you.
Yeah, yeah so, yeah. And you know, I had started to make a, you know, fairly cool name for myself
yourself,
on campus,
right?
Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were looking at me too.
Right.
So that by the time the opportunity did come, it was no question.
Oh, asked. Yeah. Because, yeah. Like, you we scope ready. Out girls. I know. We scoped out girls on campus. Like, what you think? What you think you want? What you think you want to do? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Totally get it.
Yeah.
So where is all this going, Lakeith? You are a very creative person. I mean, one of the subsidiaries under Tailored is always be creating.
Yep.
What are you trying to do with yourself, Lakeith?
I'm trying to build a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Being being an only child from a single parent home. Like, I got to take care of my mom at some point, right? I got a son who's going to be going to college in 10 years. For me, it's all about putting ideas into the world and, like, having joy and pleasure from what I build.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful to be able to do that every day. And I'm just going to keep doing that on, like, a bigger and better scale.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just I don't really know what success looks like because every milestone that I kind of create for myself, like, I hit it. So, like, that target keeps moving, right?
I know it. Is it with creative people? Or is it with dreamers? Because once I accomplish a dream, I'm already thinking about, okay, what's that going to take me to?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Like, it never stops.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a disease or something. Yeah. Like, what's going on with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do a very bad job of kind of celebrating my wins because it's like, man, check that box, dope. Like, on to the next thing. And I'm like always thinking about what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not cool, right? Like, you should really take some time and really think about your accomplishments and really celebrate those small victories because there's someone out there praying for the things that you have.
Yeah.
And the ability to do what I do every day and just create and build and strategize and do all of this cool stuff. I really, really worked my butt off, right, to get to this position. So, you know, when the door cracked open, I just kicked that thing in, man.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it's just continuing to build a legacy so that, you know, when my son is my age, he's like, you know, my dad built some amazing stuff, and he's watching me now.
Right.
And working here at the Gathering Spot and just doing what I do, like, he's at an age now where I take him to meetings. You know, I've done workshops and I've done presentations and, you know, seminars. Like, I'm exposing him to all of that because whatever profession that he goes in, I want him to know that, like, the world is his oyster.
Yes.
And it's not about being a truck driver, right, which is cool. It's about creating a trucking company as well. And I just really want to instill that type of exposure to him, let him know that it's possible.
It is.
So for me, it's about building a legacy for not just myself, but just the Taylor name. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the first person in my family to go to college. You know, my mom didn't even graduate high school. She had me at 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, legacy and just building an imprint for generational wealth is ultimately like my goal. Yeah. That's why intellectual property, that's why brand building, creating things for the world is so important. Mm-hmm. It's not just about having a job and like a cool house and white picket fence and driving a nice car. Like, none of that matters to me, to be honest with you. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's about what I create and put into the world.
Yeah.
So
you're doing just that. That's great. What's your definition of cool?
Cool is being like very comfortable with yourself and who you are, and like not needing like acceptance, yes. right? And being completely authentic. So like, you know, I talk a lot about the creativity and the branding and the architecture, all this stuff, but like, I'm not doing it because it's like a buzzword. It's like who I really am. Mm-hmm. Like everything that I talk about and everything that I put into the world, whether it's like on social media, is people say I'm cool. I mean, thanks. Like I just think I'm just a nerd, right?
No,
who just likes a lot of different things. but cool is definitely like, you know, being comfortable with yourself and waking up and looking in the mirror every day and liking what you put out into the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you're putting out a lot of good stuff,
yeah,
and I'm hoping you're liking it. Do you want to write more? Because you are a great writer. I'm looking at just a simple bio, but the way it is written is just so well done. What are you doing with that skill set?
I'm actually penning a book.
Thank you, God. Don't first, I be first. Knowing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm penning a book, right? So this concept or mantra that I've adopted, always be creating, is going to be like the ethos of the book. So if you think about always be creating, it's ABC. And for me, I'm looking at that mantra as like the ABCs of life, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be successful in anything, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in corporate America, whether you're just a parent, you have to create. And this ain't about like paintings or logos. This is about creating moments, about creating experiences, about creating blessings for others. This is about creating, you know, time with family. Like, you have to create in your life. It is the only true path to success.
Wow.
So my book is really going to be the ABCs of success. So I'm going to break down each letter, right? A, B, C, D, all the way up. Mm-hmm. 26 transformative principles to like live the type of success that you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, A stands for adventures. B stands for always be creating blessings. C is for always be creating content. You know, so it's literally going to break down every chapter in that way.
Yeah.
Based on my own personal life lessons, my peers, my colleagues, the people around me. I'm literally writing a book about creating a life that you want.
Mm.
You know, so
that's good.
It's a work in progress.
That's so good. I've learned so much about you in the time that we've had to sit down and talk. And I'm just like really excited about your nonprofit and now this and all the other things I probably don't even know about. That you probably even you haven't given me all of that yet, because you know you got to keep it under.
Yeah.
Keep it close at this point. Yeah.
I actually shared a lot with you right now about the book. There's only about 4 people in the world who know about
it. Add on 100,000 more people now. So now when you put it in the universe, you got to complete it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm accountable now. So like all y'all know this book is coming. So Keith, where the book at?
Keith, where the book at? Yeah. Right.
So
how can people find you on all your social media platforms?
Yeah, it's easy. It's Tailored by Lakeith. So TAYLORED. By Lakeith. And that's Lakeith with an E.
Right.
A lot of people do LA.
No.
It's actually
LEKEITH.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Very active. You know what I discovered recently?
What?
So like, I wasn't a fan of like Snapchat and all that. I was like, man, this is stupid, man. Who's sharing all these videos every day? But like, I tried it and like, I love it.
So you gotta get me to love it, because I'm like, that's a lot to do.
So it's more Instagram stories than Snapchat, and what I found out, it's like it's a different type of medium to share content. So you know, like on Instagram, you put up the pictures and it's all cute and curated and
nice.
But like with the stories, man, you get super creative with like just the way that you can tell stories, and like I found it to be really fascinating.
Can you give me a tutorial? Well, he gives me tutorials on everything. I'm like, hey, Lakeith is my IT man here at the Gathering Spot. But go ahead, finish the Instagram stories.
Yeah. So it's become a real fascination of mine. Yeah. Actually, yesterday I built a bench, a kitchen bench, mm-hmm. like from scratch. So I went and bought all the wood from Home Depot. Uh-huh. You know, cut the wood, saw everything like from scratch.
Really?
No YouTube tutorial. But like I put all of it on Instagram stories, like literally every
step of the way.
Yeah, part of it, right? It's showing me like cutting the wood. It's like putting it together. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I heard you get like a lot of different types of followers from those Instagram stories too.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. And it's different engagement. Like I see people on my Instagram stories like commenting or sending, you know, DMs and like, hey, man, that's really cool.
They right.
never like the photos that I post. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a nice, healthy balance.
Okay. I might look into it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to just do my Facebook Live on a consistent basis, which has been very inconsistent. But anyway, you know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
And that is one of mine. It is okay. It is okay. Lakeith, thank you so much for being a part of the Cool Sore Podcast as our Cool Bruh feature of the week. I definitely appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Continued success. Always be creating.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
Thank you. Lakeith Taylor, everybody.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Lakeith Taylor. I am a chief marketing and brand officer at The Gathering Spot, and I am a cool bruh of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
Crossing those sands in the Kappa land. Yeah. I'm a Kappa man, highly in demand. Yeah.